in the multimedia. Dorothy's home, and she's doing great. She is doing so good. God has been so awesome. It's coming up. God is so, so good. We've been talking about trials, and I know nobody in here is going through a trial, are you? Well, we're gonna praise God. Here we go. It's coming up. Let's see here. We're going to continue from last week. Last week, I'm not sure why that's so dull. Can y'all see it? It's awful dull tonight. Okay, it's dull. I'm not sure why. We'll figure that out later. Do what? Okay, cool. That's more gooder. As long as that's more gooder, we're all right. All right, this is where we started last week. The key verse actually was, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you were suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." When you're going through stuff, remember this. I'm trying to do something different than hand out those handouts, because those handouts sometimes make us lazy. And so this way you get a look and maybe you'll be less likely to just kind of take it for granted it's there. And I don't know about you, but you know, you can listen four times faster than you can talk. That's the truth. And some of us can listen a lot faster than that. Okay. You don't think you can listen four times faster than I can talk? Okay. So if you're not careful, you'll find yourself concentrating, and while you're concentrating, you start wandering off. Because you concentrate and you start concentrating on something else, and you just kind of veer off. So we're just trying to mix things up a little bit. There's a difference and for the sake of this argument here, for this thing, there's a difference in, you could say, in temptations and in trials. Temptations usually come from Satan. Temptations usually, and the flesh, temptations are always negative. Trials come from God. And they're positive. No matter how negative it seems, a trial from God always has a positive intention in it. Temptations from Satan are there to move us from God. And trials are there to move us toward God. That's a big difference. One's trying to take us away, one's trying to push us toward God, one's taking away. A temptation is actually trying to make you weak. And a trial is there to make you strong. You say, "Well, God, I don't know if I can handle all this." He's letting you go through it to get you strong. You cannot. I'm telling you, you cannot. If you go work out at the gym, you cannot stay on the same amount of weights and the same amount of reps and do the same kind of exercise. Eventually, you're going to just max out, and you're not going to get any stronger, and you're probably going to wind up right back where you were to start with. You have to keep increasing and increasing. As your body builds, you have to increase. Same with our faith. We have to keep moving forward. One, temptations, if it overtakes you, it gives you an experience to build on. All right? God is an awesome God. He's a righteous God. And He knows that we've been overtaken. That He has brothers and sisters to come and help us. But a temptation actually gives you experience to build on, because you can say, "I'm going to do my best not to do that again." There have been many times I said, "No, I can do that again," and turn right around and done it again. But eventually, I got over it. Trials from God move you toward God. They strengthen you, and they provide a testimony. There's a difference in experience and a testimony. Experience can just—it's just information. But a testimony, experience I have something to build on. But a testimony, I can boast on God, how God was good to me, how God was so awesome, and how God helped me. So here it is. We just read that scripture. Remember this, what's the purpose of trials? A trial is the process of proving the quality or worth of something or someone. a test of faith, patience, and endurance through the process of suffering. So it's not all hunky-dory. It's not all peaches and cream. Yes, there's roses, but every rose bush has thorns. Amen? And so God teaches how to maneuver through these things, and it's really awesome because God knows what he's doing. Amen? I'm glad there is a God, and I'm glad I'm not him. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. That's the last thing we ended with last week. Genesis. In Genesis, when Abraham was told to take his son up on the mountain, and I read all that to you, but the Bible says that as he was getting ready, and Abraham lifted up his eye, or as Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, the Lord called him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," he said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not the hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram was caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham named the place that day Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, there's a whole lot of people who are really willing to talk about Jehovah Jireh. He's providing. But if you take the whole context of this, there was a testing before he provided. Think about it. There was a testing. Testing came before the provision. A lot of us want to think just provision is going to be there. And you hear these guys on television, and they honestly, when they get through talking, it's got God a cosmic sugar daddy. I hear it. It makes me somehow sick of my stomach. You know, testing came before he found out that the place was called Jehovah Jireh. And what's so awesome and nerve-wracking at the same time was it wasn't just some minor trial. It was major. Take your son, your only son, and offer him to me. That's powerful. But because he did, God took his son, his only son, and let him die in our place. Amen? So here we go. Get ready. Something new. The truth about trials. Number one, everybody experiences trials. Sometimes, have you ever felt like you were the only one going through something? Have you ever felt like you were the only one in your group that was having a trial, a certain kind of trial, and not realizing that honestly, there is nobody on this earth that escapes trials. Nobody. There's no age. There's no age limit. We cannot escape trials because God knows that's how he builds us up, is through trials. All right? Think about it again in that gym, working out with those weights. Don't be surprised. That's what we just read earlier. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Well, I'm your child, God. I shouldn't be going through this. Well, you know what? If it's a trial, God allowed it to strengthen you, to get you ready for the next step. I remember Daniel told me in Afghanistan, he said, "Daddy," he said, "when I went on some of those dangerous missions, I didn't want some greenhorn on me." He said, "He'd get you killed." He said, "I wanted some experienced guys, guys that have been through it. Those guys come with me." He said, "We'll take the inexperienced guys, we'll train them, but we're going to have some experienced guys because those guys have been through the fire." The same way, think about some of the things you've gone through. If you got somebody trying to help you that's never been through it, now, it drives me crazy when somebody's never had a child tells me how to handle my child. I mean, I appreciate it, but you've never had a child, so you don't understand that it's not from a book. You know, there's one woman said before she had children, she had three theories on children raising and no kids. Now that she's got three kids, she has no theories. You know, and we dangerously tell people that don't go to church our spiritual problems. We throw off about our church, throw off about somebody. We throw it off, and we throw it off. Guess what happens? They're not going to give you the right advice because they're not spiritual. And number two, you're actually not just hurting you. You're hurting the situation and them, because if they're not Christians, then they're definitely not going to want to be there and be a Christian with you. When they say, "Well, if that's the way y'all are doing, I'm having that problem by myself. Why do I need y'all?" You know, it's why be stressed out? There was a sign outside of church one day. Why be stressed out? Let the church help. It was a misprint. Okay. Whenever a trial comes your way, it has a divine purpose. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. How many remember the mighty army from Monday morning about two dogs and one bone? Do you know where that came from? The night before, I was eating chicken that my brother had put on a plate for me, which was awesome, and I had two dogs. My two dogs, when I'm not feeding them together, have the softest mouths. They take food right out of your mouth, so soft and gingerly. But you get them together, and Katie barred the door. Well, I was talking to Linda. I really wasn't paying attention, and the two dogs were sitting down there going, "Me first, me first, me first." And I didn't have a towel. "Me first, me first." And so, without even thinking about it, I had chicken in my fingers, and I went down like this talking to Linda, and Maddie got me right there, and right there with her, she bit. And so I'm standing here like this, and Linda said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Sure." And she says, "Let me look." I said, I don't think it's still there. I don't know if you can look or not. And so the next day I wrote about the two dogs and the bone. Okay. That proverb I'd read before, but again, I got experience. I should have known better. Should have known better. Okay, so here it is. Do you know the difference in a mature Christian? Well, there are several differences, but in trials, here's the difference. I want you to write this down because it'll make you think. The difference in a mature Christian and a non-mature Christian, I don't want to say immature because sometimes immature has a negative. I say new Christian. Novice Christian, okay. Difference in a mature Christian and a non-mature Christian, novice Christian is a non-mature Christian rejoices at the end of the trial. The mature Christian rejoices at the beginning. Wow. That's heavy. That's so heavy. The non-mature Christian, he's still trying to figure out if God's going to do it. He hasn't had enough stuff under his belt, not enough experiences. And so when he's going through these trials, he just has a hard, hard, hard time. But the mature Christian knows God's there. God's got this. God's got my back. God's not going to drop me. God's got a purpose for this trial. And I'm going to rejoice at the beginning of my trial, not at the end. Here it says, rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. I was in Starbucks one day, and this guy had this hat that looked like he had drug it behind his car through four or five towns, and had a fishing hook pulling it. He come up and sat beside me, and that hat was just pitiful. And I looked at him and said, "I like that hat." He said, "This old thing?" I said, "Yeah, it's got character." And he said, "What's character?" And so I began to talk to him about character. And he says, "You mean like businessmen or sort of have character?" And I said, no, there's a difference. This has just got character. It's been through something, and it's got a specialness about it. I said, but the other kind of character, I said, this is strength that's in you that comes from God. And I said, here's what I told him. I said, talent can get you where you're going, but it takes character to stay there. Character. So it's powerful. So all this is going on when we're having these trials. And they only last for a while. I know sometimes it seems like they last forever. In this greatly rejoice, for though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I like it. This soon will pass. This soon will pass. Sometimes I say, Lord, this is, I know it's passing. I know I'm only passing through. I feel like I'm dropping my anchor. I'm going to have to help me pick it back up. I'm about tired of this trial. But when God seen the work in you, then you'll go to the next trial. That's encouraging, isn't it? What's that? That's right. Trials are always controlled by God. Y'all say always. I don't have it up there, but always. Trials are always controlled by God. God will not let you be tempted above that which you can bear. Trials are always, always, there had no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to the human experience to such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word, to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried or saved beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always provide the way out, the means of escape, to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. God is, you know, one of my favorite songs when I first got saved was by the Hemp Hills. How many remember that song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How patient, how loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Wow. That might sometimes even sound like a kid's song. It's not. I sing it. I ride down the road sometime after I messed up and go, he's still working on me. All right. Every trial comes with God's grace for endurance. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Again, that's such an awesome, awesome thought. He said unto me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. You know, it literally means to raise a barrier. Think about a bloodstained barrier that's standing up in front of you. That barrier that Job had between him and the devil. You got that barrier up just like that for you too. Job's not the only one. You've got it up there. For my strength and my power made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effectively in your weakness. It's usually when you're weak and you're thinking, man, oh man. I remember one time I was at work and I was working an area that actually required three people on a good day. And I was supposed to keep it running, this big machine, a two-story machine, and it encompassed, the whole area encompassed probably the whole church. I'm talking about all the way to the old building, all the way there, all of it together. But one part was set right here, and we could all sit in it, this two-story. And it had other stuff connected all around it. And my job was to keep it all going, and there were still two people operating, one operating, one driving. But it was a bad day. I was operating, driving, and keeping it running. And on a bad day, it might take five people. This was a bad day. And there was still only one, me. And so I went and asked for help. They said, we're going to bring you some help. Nobody came. I was getting backed up. The machine was breaking. I was trying to work on the machine. I was trying to also move the stuff out of the way so it could keep on running. And I finally had all I could take because I'd ask and ask and ask for help. And I drove and looked for my main boss. In Procter & Gamble, it was T1, T2, T3, and T4. The T4 would be like the head supervisor for the whole shift. And I reckon you call him the general superintendent. I went to him, and he was sitting there with some of his people, some of the other foremen. And I said, I have asked for help all day long, and you have ignored my request for help. Now, I think somebody needs to get out there now, because we're going to be down quick. And I've about had all I can take. I've had it up to here today. Now, somebody get out there and help me. And I drove by. He just looked at me. I drove back out there. Next thing I noticed, people coming to help. Later on that day, I walked to him. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I bet I dropped myself some. And he was an elder. And I said, I probably dropped myself in your estimation, in your eyes today because of me coming up talking to you like that. And he says, no. He said, matter of fact, he said, your value went up. I said, why my value go up? I said, I was mad. He said, I know you were mad. He said, you didn't cuss me. He said, you didn't cuss anybody. He said, you didn't throw a fit. You didn't kick anything. You didn't throw anything. You told me what needed to be done. You were a little animated about it. He said, but you held yourself together, and I brought you some help. He said, matter of fact, don't you even think another thing about it, because I think more of you now than I did before that encounter. Okay? Well, you know what? I didn't think so. But see, in my weakness, God shone through. So sometimes you're thinking you're being weak, people are watching, they're going, wow, this is awesome. It is so, so awesome. Okay, so again, God's grace comes with endurance so we can handle it. And trials strengthen you in your weakness. Did you know that? I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. Now, how many right now can look at that and say, that's what I do? Don't raise your hand. But how many can just sit there and go, you know, that's what I do when somebody insults me or I go through hardships or persecutions or difficulties? I just say, I delight in this. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, that I'm so weak. This stuff is overcoming me, it seems like. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When you can do that, things will get better. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Like I told you, DC a couple weeks ago said, Dad, you think I bit off more than I can chew? And I said, no, son, but you sure got your mouth full. He says, what does that mean? I said, it means keep chewing. Okay. So here's some types of trials. Trials also can be categorized as storms. A storm in your life. So here's what I want you to see this now. This is so awesome. I'm going to talk about four different types of trials or storms. The first one is trials or storms that rebuke. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? You know, maybe in Possum Track talking, he said, go climb back under the porch. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now I want you to watch this now, because it's going to be in comparison to the next one. Matter of fact, I'm going to do the next one too, and then I'll show you the comparison. Then there's trials to rise above. This is in Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed him, he went up on a mountainside to himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately the Lord reached out his hand and caught him. You little faith. He said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. It didn't stop while he was getting picked up and rescued in that storm. I want you to see the differences here. The focus. All right, here's the main thing. Are we going to trust him? No matter how bad it seems, are we going to trust him? You going to trust him? I say I am, but sometimes my trust is thicker than other times. Sometimes my trust shows a little bit better than other times. The first one was he was watching their reaction to their inability, and he showed them his ability to calm it. Remember now, they saw this, their reaction to their inability, and they saw his ability to handle it, so he rebuked it. The second time, now the focus is different. Now the focus is, I've seen his ability, and now let me participate. And as he gets out, as a matter of fact, when it says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come, and it says, it is I, in the Greek, original Greek, here's what he said, I am. Wow, I am. And so he gets out now and he's walking along. He's walking on the water. His reaction is a whole lot different. The first time it was on his inability and God's ability. Now it's on God's ability, but what God can help him do in his storm. God never stilled the storm on the outside. He stilled his storm on the inside. There's times in our life God doesn't steal the storm on the outside. He steals it on the inside. You're still going through it, but he's doing something different in you. All right. Then there's trials. You just got to ride it out. No matter what you do, you're just going to have to ride it out. Acts chapter 27. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stem was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks and on pieces of ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Now, there comes a time when you're going through something, God's not going to stop it. Remember the wilderness, the 40 years in the wilderness? 40 years in the wilderness was meant for them to learn to overcome what they were going through and to endure. Overcome and endure. That's what the wilderness was for. Overcome and endure. This right here was overcome and endure because Satan is going to try to stop him from getting to Rome. He's got to go to Rome. But the storm's trying to keep him away. But remember, there's a time where God's not going to calm it. He wants you to endure it for several reasons. One, it's going to build you. It builds your faith. It builds all kinds of things within you. It builds your strength. But also, look at all the people's lives. There was 276 men on that boat. 276 men. Do you know they all swam to land and they all stayed there? Those prisoners, they were scared they were going to escape. They didn't escape. Why? Because they had seen something special in Paul. And they stopped. So it's important that we pay attention to those kind of trials. And then there's trials we dare not rebuke. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. Go to Nineveh. He could have gone 700 miles this way, but he went 2,000 miles that way. And so, as you're trying to get away from God, it's going to take you a long way to get away from him. All right? He says, go up to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because wickedness has come unto me. That's in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, after he'd been swallowed by that whale, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land. Now, what was the reason for that fish? Two things. One was to save him. And number two, it was to rebuke him. He said on the third day, Oh, that's right, Lord. You said go to Nineveh. I'll do what you said. Three whole days. He said, I'll offer sacrifice of praise unto you, God. Out of the belly of hell, I'll do it. Okay. So I honestly believe if Jonah had rebuked the storm, he'd have died in that belly, in the well of that belly. I mean, the belly of that belly. In the belly of that well. Thank you. All right. So now, that well was his attitude adjustment. God, remember, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. I'll end it with this, and then we'll go ahead and pray. I've told some of y'all, y'all have heard this story before, but Mama was up getting a heart surgery, and she had 9 blockages in her heart, and they told us that it was touch and go, that she may not even make it. 9 blockages. I don't know how they figured it all out, but her vessels were stopping on both sides all over. She had coronary artery disease. She had 9 blockages. She had to have triple bypass or quadruple bypass or whatever it was. And they told us that as bad off as her heart was, or bad off as all that was, that she might not make it. And so everybody was really doom and gloom, really doom and gloom. And I was trying to keep my faith up by trusting God and trying to keep their faith up by trusting God. and kept talking positive, faith, God's got this, God's got this. And even when Mama went to go to the, get the surgery, I followed her all the way to the surgical room, held her hand, and I kept telling her, Mama, God's got this. God's got this. It's not your time yet. It's not your time. Because she'd had a dream. God showed her a dream one more time. I said, Mama, it's not your time yet. You're going to be fine. And while they were, it was a 6-7 hour surgery. So while they're doing the surgery, I decided to walk around. I about had all I could take for that day. And so I'm walking around, and I'm over in the children's ward. And that's where Daniel was when they said he had cystic fibrosis. Of course, God healed him of it. It was on his first birthday. And so I said, you know what? They used to paint on the walls, and they had, on his first birthday, another cystic fibrosis patient had gone up there and drew a birthday cake about that big, put one candle and said, Daniel, 116, whatever it was, his birthday. I can't even think, 86, I think it is, 84, 86, something, but they had his birthday. And the boys, all the people, youngest, that drew all over the walls and painted stuff. Well, and God healed Daniel. On his birthday, God healed him, and the doctors couldn't find anything. Okay, they've tried to say, tried to tell him two or three times, even recently, they tried to tell him that there's some remnants, there still could be some remnants there of cystic fibrosis. And I said, Daniel, tell them that God healed you. Don't listen to that. It scars from earlier. It's not now. Okay. Well, that day I was really trying to find something to build my faith. And go back and talk to my family while they were in there, because everybody was crying in the waiting room. My mom was being operated on. And when I walked down that hall, I saw that birthday cake still there. And so this was back, it was in 84. It was on that wall. And this is back in 95. So it had been there for like 11 years. And it was right there. And I looked at it. And the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, did I drop your son? I said, no, Lord. He said, I'm not going to drop your mom. And so I walked right back. And of course, if we'd had all these things, I'd have taken a picture of it and showed it. So I just ran back down and told Daddy and told all my brothers and sister and told everybody it was there. I said, you guess what I just saw? I just saw this cake up on that wall when God healed Daniel of cystic fibrosis. And God told me he's got mama too. And some of them were going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, there were some going, right. But Mama came out of it good. Matter of fact, Mama lived several years after that. But she came out of that one really, really good. And again, God, I don't think if I hadn't gone through the trial with Daniel, it wouldn't have been there to help me with that trial with Mama. Just remember, you judge God's faithfulness by looking back, not present, not forward. You judge God's faithfulness by looking backwards. God's never let you down. No matter what kind of storm, if you had to ride it out, or somebody had to ride out, or some arose above, you know, there's some that I had to rebuke, and there's some that I didn't think about rebuking because I knew. Jonah even said, the whole storm's here because of me, didn't he? Threw me overboard. I heard somebody preaching one time and said they all got mad at Jonah and threw him overboard. That's not what he did. He said, y'all throw me overboard. I'm the reason. Yeah, he knew. Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this night. I thank you, God, that when we do go through trials, Lord, they're not to kill us. They're not to harm us. Lord, they're to make us stronger. And I thank you for it right now. I thank you, God, that you're more than enough. You tell us in our trials, you are more than enough. If there's ever been a spiritual guy, it was Paul. Paul was such an awesome, awesome spiritual man. But he prayed 3 times for God to take that trial away of his thorn in the flesh, and God didn't. And so God's got a plan. You got to trust him. And even when God says no, you got to trust him. God has a plan, and I thank you for it, Lord. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord. Help us all realize that, to stand strong on you, Lord, and to hold on and keep on keeping on. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for this night. The church said, amen. Everybody is dismissed.